Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
Our fundamental beliefs conversation, we're talking about God, the Holy Spirit. And when we look in scripture, it's very clear that the Holy Spirit is a part of the triune God, right? And the term God is inclusive of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And this is in the Great Commission of Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, where Jesus implores his disciples to go and preach the gospel to all the world, baptizing them in the name of who? God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, go therefore, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But what exactly is the role of the Holy Spirit? Elder Dennis Chisanga joins us from today until Friday at this time. We'll be talking about the Holy Spirit. My elder, good afternoon and welcome to the Maranatha Drive.
Good afternoon to you, and I hope you're okay. I'm equally fine.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, and glad to hear that. So let's get straight into it, my elder. Who is the Holy Spirit? We always hear the church people, the church folk, the believers talking about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. Who is this Holy Spirit?
Well, before, in fact, answering to that question, one thing which have clarity is that we are talking about God and the triune of God. Mm-hmm. And God himself, we can't understand fully who God is, because Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. So in short, God cannot be comprehended by humanity. So the knowledge which we share about God from the Bible, trying to explain, is just how God has revealed himself to us. So we can't fully understand who God is. So part of the triune of God, or the Godhead, there is the Holy Spirit, is God. So like you've asked, who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Mm-hmm. He is co-equal with the Father, the Son, and they are all co-eternal beings. So he is not a lesser being or a subordinate, but a full member of the Trinity. And actually, he was involved in creation, is actively involved in redemption, and also he is active in our daily lives. So we can think of it in this way, just as you can't separate God the Father from God the Son. So you cannot also separate the Holy Spirit from the other two. They are one. Now, this truth is supported by the Trinitarian formulas found in Matthew 28, verse 19, the one which you just quoted when we began the discussion. Therefore, go and make disciples in all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit was not God, if he was just a being or an influence or just a power, then he couldn't be equated with God in the act of baptism. If one should be baptized in the name of the Father, he should equally be baptized in the name of the Son, who is God, and also in the name of the Holy Spirit, who is also God. So 2 Corinthians again, 13 verse 14 says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So God, the Holy Spirit, he is God. He is equal with the Father as much as he's equal with the Son. Sure.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. That's a beautiful introduction right there. Now, would you say then that the Holy Spirit has godly authority? Is the Holy Spirit equal to God, and that, such that we can also call the Holy Spirit God?
Absolutely. The Holy Spirit actually possesses divine authority because he is God. And the scripture affirms this through his divine attributes and his actions. He creates, he regenerates, and he empowers, all which are divine, actually, prerogatives. They are not man or just an influence, some energy like potential, kinetic energy. These are attributes of God. Actually, he is included in the triune formula, like we've mentioned, of Matthew. So he is God. He has the attributes of God, the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4 confirms this. Then Peter said, Ananias, How is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept yourself some of the money you received for the land? Did it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. Now, here is an interesting part. When Peter is responding to Ananias for that unfaithful act, he says, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. Then when he's concluding, he said, you've not just lied to human beings, but to God. So meaning that the Holy Spirit, what Peter is saying is that the Holy Spirit, actually, he is God. So if he is God, then he possesses divine authority. Mm-hmm. So we can clearly call him God, and we can call upon his aid and his help. Because remember, the triune of God, they have different roles in the redemption of man and how they interact to humanity. So we can call upon him in the role which he has in our lives.
Yes. Now, is the Holy Spirit a person or an influence? Or, you know, sometimes we call him the Holy Ghost. That's how we refer to the Holy Spirit. And we say that we can feel the movement of the Holy Spirit within us. Is this more like when we talk about spirits, exactly are we talking about?
Okay. So the Holy Spirit actually is a person, not merely an influence or an ethereal ghost. He has intellect, he has will, he has emotions, as evidenced by Scripture. In fact, he speaks. Acts 13 verse 2 says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart. Look, it says the Holy Spirit said. Mm. So the Holy Spirit speaks, mm-hmm. set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Then the Holy Spirit as well guides. That is John chapter 16, verse 13. But when he, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak of his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you that what is yet to come. I've heard some people, actually, they refer to the Holy Spirit as it. The Bible yes. itself calls the Holy Spirit as he. He is a being. Actually, he also intercedes in our prayers. Romans 8, verse 26. In the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us with our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And also, again, the Holy Spirit becomes grieved. Hebrews 4, verse 7 tells us that today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Because when we harden our hearts, the Holy Spirit becomes grieved. And Ephesians 4, verse 30 says, and do not grieve the Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So when we talk about, I'm sure some time back we had some topics about what sealing is. Part of the sealing is being with the Holy Spirit. When you have the Holy Spirit with you, then you are sealed. So while the term actually spirit can sometimes be misunderstood, it actually denotes his divine, his non-physical nature. So way back when the scriptures were being written, people mm-hmm. didn't actually understand well what the word spirit meant. The only likelihood of a spirit which they referred to were ghosts.
Yes.
That's why he's differentiated from other spirits. Okay. It's called the Holy Ghost.
Okay.
Holy Spirit. Yes, so he has a, when we talk about him being a spirit, it means he has a non-physical nature as we have. So he's not an impersonal force, he is a person that we can have a relationship with.
Interesting, very interesting. So there's one thing that always strikes me when we talk about grieving the Holy Spirit, and we make those kinds of distinctions between the Spirit and the Father and the Son. It almost sounds like there are certain offenses that are directed at the Holy Spirit specifically, but they don't touch the Father and the Son. Is that what it means when we talk about grieving the Holy Spirit? Are the Father and the Son untouched by such grievances?
Actually, they are touched by these grievances. But like I earlier mentioned, and what the Bible reveals is that these have different roles. So we cannot actually go to the Father except through the Son. And we cannot know how to live daily in our lives except there's the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the one, like we mentioned in John 16, verse 13, that he convicts us of sins, he guides us. So when he tells us to do something and we do not, that is now grieving the Holy Spirit. And we distance ourselves because he's holy. So we separate ourselves by continuously indulging in sin.
Yeah.
And in the end, he grieved because we are not cooperating with him. In short, it's more like we do not want him and God cannot force himself on us. So when we grieve the Holy Spirit, the entire triune of God is grieved because it means the work of saving us has not been made certain because we are not cooperating with him.
Right, right. All right. And then what does it mean that we are supposed to be the dwelling places of the Holy Spirit? We've often heard that within Christendom, that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean?
Yes, in fact, what you've mentioned is 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, which tells us that our bodies are temples of the Holy Ghost. The verse actually says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. So this means that God desires to reside within us. Mm-hmm. Apart from that, him residing in us, it means transforming us from the inside out. It means that change first begins inside. He takes the authority of our decisions, our will. In short, we surrender to him. God becomes, the Holy Spirit now becomes in charge. You cannot do anything except under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. When somebody offends you, before you react, there's that voice which speaks to you on what to do.
Yeah.
And that voice will advise you that, don't do this. Actually, forgive them for they do not know what they are doing. That is the Holy Spirit. In one of the writings of one of our authors, Ellen White, in fact, she says that conscience is actually the Holy Spirit speaking to us.
Mm.
So the issue of him dwelling with us and us having our bodies as the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, it means that we yield our lives to his control. We allow him to purify our lives and to empower us. So it is a call to holiness when we say, let the Holy Spirit dwell in us, because he's holy, so we should be holy, just like that. So it means that we should strive to live a life that is pleasing to him because he lives within us. Not that he enters in us like the way water enters into a bottle,
right,
but actually we consult with him on a day-to-day basis. We interact with him through our mind.
Beautiful. Now, what does the presence of the Holy Spirit do for us as believers? What does it mean for us and how is it supposed to impact our lives?
The presence of the Holy Spirit is actually transformative.
Mm-hmm.
It convicts us of sin. He convicts us of sin. That's John 16, verse 8. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Apart from that, when the Holy Spirit is present, he guides us into truth. That is John 16, verse 13. He also empowers us for service. When you read Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus tells the disciples that actually, before they go and preach, they had a lot of things which they needed to overcome. One of them was fear and all those things, the racial barrier which existed and the like. So Jesus tells them in Acts 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So before they could go and preach, they did not have power. That's why they were afraid when Jesus died. They even locked themselves in the upper room. They had all those fears. Some, in fact, they even stopped the work. They went back to their nets and the like. But when they received the power, they could stand before the Jewish leaders and the authorities and say, there's no other name which is given under earth by which you should be saved except Jesus. And when they are told to keep silent, they say, we will not keep silent because these are things which we've seen and we've heard for ourselves. Mm. So even us, you know, sometimes in these last days, we fail to stand up for the truth. And what makes us not to stand up for the truth, one of the reasons is because we've not fully surrendered to the will of the Holy Spirit. We've not allowed him to occupy our lives. In short, some of us have not died to our old lives. We just fainted. So we just wake up again when things are bad in a Christian life. We wake up to the world. Again, we faint a little to the world and like that. But when we make our lives to have the Holy Spirit dwell in us and his presence is daily with us, actually, we will produce the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And apart from that, the Holy Spirit also assures us of our salvation. Mm-hmm. And Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14 says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession. So what we are simply saying is that when the Holy Spirit is present with us, he comforts us, he strengthens us, he equips us to live a life pleasing to God. So we can trust him because he is our helper, he's our advocate, he's our constant companion, and he is the one who enables us to live the Christian life.
Beautiful, beautiful. I think we can end it there for today, and we'll be continuing this conversation over the next 2 days. So thank you so much for coming through this afternoon, and I look forward to the next installment as we continue studying more about who the Holy Spirit is and what his role is in our lives. Thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you so much.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.